Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Queen Elizabeth Olympic Park, the home of the London 2012 Olympic and Paralympic Games. But how many more major sporting events could be coming to this country in the next decade or so? I'm John.
And I'm Michael, and we are on the road again for this latest very special episode with UK Sport. As plans have been revealed for the return to these shores for the men and the women's Tour de France, the Outdoor World Athletics Championships following the success of the indoor version in Glasgow, and even the Women's Football World Cup, which would be for the very first time.
Coming up, we'll hear more about making live sport matter, the new major events hosting strategy.
So live sport is just a fundamental part of British society. No other country buys more tickets to live sporting events per head than we do in the UK.
And we'll also look through some of the many sporting events, including a focus on urban and e-sports, that could be coming to the UK very soon.
Claim it for a medal! Goal! Never mind! What a routine!
So we've just come inside from the park. Welcome to the depths of the London Stadium, one of the biggest parts of the real-life legacy of 2012. And Michael, we've seen this stadium rise from the pile of fridges in 2005, when London, of course, won that Olympic bid.
Yep, what a magnificent occasion that was to win the bid in Singapore. And then, of course, it became the venue for the 2012 Olympics, Super Saturday and everything else.
Now, I was here for the crowd chanting British sprinter Johnny Peacock's name at the Paralympics.
And since then, we've seen baseball, World Cup rugby, rugby league, pop, rock and hip-hop concerts, monster trucks. And, of course, very special in 2017, the World Athletics Championships and the World Para Athletics Championships.
Which brings us on to why we're back here for this special edition of the pod. UK Sport have released a wish list, an aspirational list, of the world's biggest sporting events that they'd like to bring back to these shores.
And there's 70 in total across 32 sports. If all of these come off, it would mean 18 world championships coming to the UK. And some of the big highlights, well, we've mentioned them right at the start, but the ones I think that we should pick out is that bid for a World Athletics Championships, a return to the Outdoor World Athletics Championships. As I said, the indoor version in Glasgow that we were at the weekend, very successful. 10 years on from the Grand Départ, which was held in Leeds and across Yorkshire, and aimed to bring the Tour de France back for the first time since 2014, and for the very first time the Tour Femme, the Women's Tour de France as well. The aim is to try and get that on these shores in 2027. Now, you know I'm a big golf fan. Are we going to see the Ryder Cup back on these shores? The last time, of course, 2014 in Scotland, and in Wales back in 2010. It was last in England at the Belfry in 2002, and has since travelled around the United States, of course, and Europe, but could be coming back to the UK. And as part of this strategy as well, I think what's really important to mention is the plan that to try and make this a gender equal bidding strategy. So when we talk about the Ryder Cup coming back, we're also talking about a bid for the Solheim Cup as well, which was at Gleneagles in Scotland back in 2019. We're going to see the Women's Rugby Union World Cup very soon on these shores, and there is going to be a bid to bring the men's version back in 2035 or 2039. And as we said right at the start, the FIFA Women's World Cup, that would be the biggest global sporting event the UK has never hosted. And the earliest that bid would happen would be for the 2031 event. And the reason is we don't yet know who's going to host 2027. And there is a joint European bid for that. And if that European bid is successful, which features Belgium, the Netherlands and Germany, then the UK would probably step back from the bid for 2031 and go for 2035 at the earliest.
It is an amazing list. And when you see it written down, you go, wow, I can't wait for this. It's going to be incredible. But of course, the times are changing as well. The world, not just sporting ones, has been facing some significant challenges over the past few months and even years. So what does the future hold, and how do we maintain our world-leading event programme in this country? We're going to find out in this podcast. We will be talking to Simon Morton, the Deputy CEO of UK Sport. He's also Director of Events. But first, let's hear from Esther Britton, Head of Major Events at UK Sport, and more about these amazing events that could be coming to the UK.
Today, look, is a really exciting day for UK Sport and for the major event hosting landscape in the UK, in that we have announced an aspirational host and programme of major events that we want to bring to this country through really to the late 2030s.
So many on the list, dozens, up to 70?
Up to 70 major international events, a breadth across world, European championships, and even some sort of co-located, multi-locational events.
Some of them will catch the eye slightly more than others, but we will talk about all of them. But the Women's Football World Cup, the Tour de France, including the men's and women's races, and that's what's something really important. You want to have that balance.
Yeah, we're really lucky in this country that we have such an interest in women's sport, and we've been at the forefront of that movement. What we're really proud of with this kind of aspirational listing is that we don't have a single gender event here, in that either they are dual gender, or if we're doing a single gender event, we are looking to host its counterpart. That's why you see the likes of the Tour de France, the Tour de France Femme, the Ryder Cup, the Solheim Cup. It's not always as easy to achieve that as it might be, but we are lucky in this country that we try our greatest ability to do that.
Talking of the Tour de France, it was an amazing event 10 years ago. It seems crazy.
How on earth was that 10 years ago? Look, the Tour de France is a brilliant event. It's great for so many reasons in this country. It's free to attend. We can take it to locations that would never normally see a major sporting event, and to profile athletes in some of those places is fantastic. It's quite a difficult one to bid for, and you know, we're always trying to see when we can bring it back to this country.
On the Women's Football World Cup, how important is it to bring it to the UK?
The growth of women's football has been quite exceptional. You know, I recall sitting with the Women's Euros board, and we couldn't get enough football clubs to put their grounds forward to host the tournament. Then to see, you know, fans turning out in over 60,000 to watch Arsenal in a WSL game is quite unbelievable. It's been stated before, there is an aspiration to bring that here at some point. When and where we do that, we shall see. You know, it always needs to be a journey with football, even with UEFA tournaments. Whilst we're the proud host of Euro 28 now across the UK and Ireland, even that journey started way back in 2018 when we hosted the under 17s youth tournament, has gone into women's tournament and into men's. So as we move into that FIFA landscape, we need to consider all of those different things about when is the right time to host any event.
And is it too early to say whether that would be an England, Scotland, Wales bid?
It is too early at this stage. You know, we are seeing an emergence of more events being hosted, either even with our counterparts in Ireland. Our government relations with them are now very strong, as well as across the UK.
Glasgow at the weekend, the World Indoor Athletics Championships, an incredibly successful event. Seb Coe said they will bring global athletics back to Scotland. World Athletics Championships is on your list.
Yeah, this is a really interesting example of how it's on our list to stage the World Athletics Championships back here in 2029. It's 2029 that's actually opened itself up to Europe. So we saw World Athletics award the 27 World Championships to Beijing and to Asia. That means that 29, there is an opportunity to bring that to Europe. 2017 World Athletics Championships was one of the greatest events we've hosted in the post 2012 era, with over a million spectators attending that event. So an opportunity to partner with World Athletics is one that we relish going forward, but I'm sure it will be a competitive bid.
And we're sitting here in the London Stadium where they hosted the 2017 World Athletics Championships, where the Olympics was held, of course. But if you were going to go for the World Athletics Championships, doesn't necessarily mean it is London. It could be Birmingham. It could be Glasgow.
It doesn't necessarily need to be London. We'll wait to see what the specification tells us. The Birmingham Stadium hosted a very successful Commonwealth Games. We'll also host the European Athletics Championships in 2026. London does have that increased capacity, but we will work that through when we work through our feasibility and our bid in due course.
What about some of the smaller events and some of the sports that we will all watch at the Olympics?
Yeah.
But actually, wouldn't it be great to have the Skateboard World Championships yeah. here?
Skateboarding World Championships is one I'm really looking forward to seeing if we can make happen. The same with climbing. Some of these are new sports that appeal to a slightly different market than a traditional Olympic and Paralympic sports fans market. So yes, we'd really like to bring them to the UK. Another one to look out for is World Figure Skating Championships. We have some emerging sporting talent in that sport. And we also have a city in the city of Sheffield that is really keen to bring that event to the city.
What are the benefits to bringing these kind of sporting events here?
Sporting events have a multiple different set of impacts, from societal to community benefits to actually sporting benefits. We're very lucky in this country that we take a consideration of sporting benefits, not just economic and tourism benefits, when we're deciding what events we want to host. Most importantly, though, there is really nothing like hosting a sporting event on a global scale with real reach and resonance that creates an iconic moment in a country's history. We've seen it with 2012, we've seen it with other sporting events. So we strongly believe that there should be a portfolio of events in this country that create iconic moments and allow you and I to experience memories of live sport and inspiration with our nearest and dearest and closest family.
Esther Britton, head of major events for UK sports. So as we heard there, Michael, the list includes new innovative, that word again, we've heard a lot about that recently with athletics, innovative events to engage a broad range of sports fans, as many as possible. I suppose if you were talking about it in terms of Olympic, you would say urban sports.
Yeah, and just having a look down that list, 2029, my eye catches skateboarding, an opportunity to host the World Championships. Plus, we've got this new IOC Olympic qualifying series, in particular for urban sports, and that is potentially going to come to the UK perhaps in 2028. Now, Budapest is hosting one of these events this year ahead of Paris 2024, so that will bring together the likes of the freestyle BMXers and the climbing World Championships, and it's a brand new concept as well in urban sport. And also, I've noticed on the list as well, lots of events for para athletes too, including a para multi-sport event. I mean, I look down here at sort of 2024, 2025, 2026, 2027, and you've got para sports like canoe, powerlifting, triathlon, wheelchair, fencing, all on that list as well. And that para multi-sport innovation event, that one is on the list potentially for 2027. And the other thing that catches my eye as well is potentially in 2025 an esports event. And it's interesting, obviously, you're at Queen Elizabeth Olympic Park, the Copper Box. We spoke in a previous episode about how there's a new contract now for the Copper Box, and esports will be central to what they are trying to host at the Copper Box Arena. And it's interesting now that UK sports are getting on board with esports as well. But what I would say about it is when we talk about esports in this kind of arena, what we are talking about is not the video games, but we're talking about esports that require some kind of physical capability as well. So that again is an interesting concept here for UK sports.
It goes without saying that all events on the list are subject to feasibility studies. Well, Simon Morton is the deputy CEO of UK Sport and director of events, and he told me why live sport matters so much in the UK.
So live sport is just a fundamental part of British society. Millions of us spend our free time watching and enjoying live sport with the people that matter most to us. No other country buys more tickets to live sporting events per head than we do in the UK. So it has this foundational role in our society, and whether that's stood on the terraces of our local clubs or sat in the stands of some of the biggest sporting events that this country hosts, big sporting events just create these really positive and enduring moments in our lives in this country.
And you've announced today is it looking at ways that tickets will be sold more easier, more accessibility?
Yeah, so we're going to do quite an important piece of research on this. We're also going to consult on this. It's really born from this idea that if, as we believe, live sport has this critical role in British society, then people must be able, therefore, to access events. So we know that the accessibility of tickets, and particularly ticket pricing, is a really important issue. The reason for doing that piece of work is so that we can better understand what the landscape actually looks like, before we can then think, well, is there anything that we can do to help in that area?
There's been a lot of talk about money in the last few years right across the world, not just in the sporting capacity. Value for money is really important.
It's critically important. And, whenever the economic situation is challenging, then what it means is that we have to think really, really carefully. And in this case, in terms of the sporting events that we host. So one of the reasons of putting this list out today is that this is a statement of those events that we believe not only are incredibly impactful for the UK, but are going to represent the best value for money, particularly for those events which require public subsidy.
Is that why you're also looking at maybe a central kind of organising event company?
Well, one of the things we've observed over the last few years is that those organisations that host major sporting events in the UK, the number of those organisations is actually reducing. So whether that's national sporting federations or whether it's local authorities, the number of organisations with the capacity and potentially even the appetite to take on the responsibility of delivering these events and to take on the responsibility of financing these events has actually contracted slightly. So we think it makes sense to look at the possibility of establishing a central delivery body to do that where there isn't an obvious host body.
How important is it that you have home events where you can get the crowd to come and support home athletes?
It's fundamentally important. And many countries around the world, they will bring events to their country for non-sporting reasons. They will look at economic reasons. They will look at the profile of their country overseas. And we look at all of those too. But there are not many countries around the world like the UK where actually the sporting benefits of events are so prominent in choosing which ones we bring to host. And as the agency responsible for not just high performance sport, but also major sporting events, it's one of the things we really look at, not just in terms of picking the right events that can benefit athletes, particularly on their journey to qualifying and preparing for a games, but also then helping showcase those athletes. So, when we see an Olympic and Paralympic Games and we see British Olympians and Paralympians win medals, normally that is happening overseas. And so the ability to then host championships where the British public can see those athletes on home soil, that's incredibly important to us.
But it is getting harder to bid and win these events.
The international competition is arguably higher than ever. Traditional rivals are competing hard. So whether that's our, the UK's traditional sporting rivals around France or Italy or Spain or USA or China, they're all bidding, they're all hosting massive global sporting events in this period. And then, of course, there are new rivals in the form of Saudi Arabia, for example. We've all seen over the last year or two what they have been doing in this world of sport. So it is really hard now to secure some of these events. It's one of the reasons why we're doing what we're doing today, though, which is putting out a very clear vision, very clear ambition for the UK to keep remaining a world-leading host nation.
Simon Morton from UK Sport talking there about some of the other countries, other nations that might be competing against the UK to host some of these events over the next 10 or 15 years. We do know that we are definitely having some. So next year, 2025, the Women's Rugby World Cup will be staged in the UK. Brighton and Hove Albion, Bristol, Exeter, Twickenham, London, Manchester, Northampton, Sunderland and York all hosting. Canada, England, France and New Zealand have already qualified. We know as well, following the success of Glasgow in the World Indoor Championships, we're going to have the European Outdoor Athletics Championships being staged in the UK. Birmingham will host that at the Alexander Stadium using the newly redeveloped stadium that they put together for the Commonwealth Games. That is confirmed now too. So lots to look forward to. And you can, of course, keep up to date with all the latest news from UK sport on their website or on social media.
So this has been a special edition of the podcast with UK Sport, recorded here at the London Stadium and Queen Elizabeth Olympic Park, the home of the 2012 Olympics and Paralympics. This is where sporting memories and lasting legacies were made. Here's to many more in the coming years.
You can always find out more online at anythingbutfooty.com, and you can check out our socials and make sure you follow Anything But Footy en route to Paris 2024 and maybe beyond as well.
Sports Social Podcast Network.